This right here is X Effect from Carré off of her brand new EP, Hibiscus. Really, really beautiful collection of some real bass heavy, pretty classic sounding dubstep that came out on Friday. You would have all heard Hibiscus with Baby Afrika on our playlist, on our heavy rotate here at 95BFM. We're big fans, and we're very lucky to be joined by Carré herself on the line. Kia ora, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, so good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for playing dubstep in the morning over there.
Oh my god. I'm a big fan of dubstep in the morning, and I think we could do with a lot more dubstep in the morning.
I love it.
And surprisingly, whenever we do play dubstep in the morning, we get a lot of love in the text line from people.
I think
the people know that they want it.
Yeah, that's great. It's great news.
Yeah.
You've had a really, really interesting journey. This EP, it follows your last release, which came out, I want to say, was it a couple of years ago now? Was it the Body Shell one?
So my first tempo release came out less than a year ago.
Oh,
but
wow,
last
okay.
year, like April. Yeah, like right after the label relaunched last year. And yeah, that one was like that was a crazy experience in itself. So yeah, like a year later, like less than, to have this record coming out as like my follow-up has been... yeah, really great. It's still really exciting to me, and I was not expecting it, as you can imagine.
Yeah. I also feel like you sit in quite an interesting space in terms of the world of dubstep, right? Because you're American and you were based in LA for a long time. You're now based in London, and I guess for a lot of people, when they think of dubstep, there's sort of like the two worlds of that. There's like the real like traditional sort of UK, like quite bass heavy stuff that a lot of us know and love, and then there's like sort of the side to dubstep that a lot of people really don't like, and it's often American.
Yes.
I'm interested to how you sort of balance those, like that sense of identity as an artist making dubstep.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. I always like said I never expected to be like have my name mentioned next to Skrillex's so many times.
Yeah.
But because of the LA, like because of the LA connection, or, you know, I'm from California, like it never really crossed my mind, because I've always been so like, I guess UK sounds have always been like my preference.
Mm.
So to me, they've always been such different things, even though I did like live in LA and like was in college like at the height of sort of this like bro step. all the bad parts about dubstep that people started to like, you know, kind of made people not like it, I suppose. So it's funny, like now, like I never even really thought of it that way, like, oh, I'm trying to you know, like bring real dubstep sounds from America, you know, like in opposition to like what most people think, but it is kind of, I guess, what people see. It's funny. It's like I never really thought that I would be like speaking on behalf of it, but I'm okay with it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good place to be in, because it is sort of a funny thing, like that bro step culture, and I guess it's not intentional, but in lots of ways, being, you know, a woman making dubstep that's going back to those sort of that real like UK sound, it is sort of a response to that, to that culture that a lot of people are not really big on. I remember the first one of the first tracks I heard from you was your edit of The Internet's Girl, and I just fell in love with that, and I was like, oh my god, like this is dubstep for girls. And then I was like, I don't know how you would feel about someone saying that, but I did feel that a bit.
I say it.
Okay, cool.
My friends, like my really good friends, like have been saying that, like girl dubstep, like, and it's said like with so much affection, and I think it's like, it doesn't like feel insulting. Like I think it's just kind of sweet almost that it's ended up like it wasn't on purpose. But it's like, yeah, I am a girl making dubstep. And I think that, like, it does sort of come out in some ways, even if, like, I think that the music probably doesn't actually sound, like, necessarily like a girl made it. Do you know what I mean? But I'm okay with, like, this I think it's kind of like funny to have this like new image of what dubstep is, and like that's where this is like girl dubstep labels come from.
And it feels like a real like interesting time in dance music at the moment, in underground dance music. There's so many incredible women and, you know, queer folk and trans women that are like paving the way in terms of like pushing the boundaries with club music at the moment. So it feels really exciting. There's a lot of like reclamation going on in those spaces.
Totally. It's like, it's cool to be a part of something that like I didn't know I was going to be a part of, if that makes sense. Mm. Like to just be like, I was making music in a sort of in a vacuum, or, you know, with like, I have like a mentor and friend and stuff, but overall, like I was not making it from being within a community, if that makes sense. Like, it was from, I was in a way, like, obviously I was in dance music and going to events and et cetera, but like not necessarily like, oh, I'm part of this like movement. And now it is cool to be like, oh, like all of us just like made music and were inspired by the things around us. And now there's like a movement that's happened, and it happens to have a lot of like, yeah, femme and queer people in it. And now it's like also reflected in the shows as well, like the crowd and stuff. So it's pretty, yeah, it was like a very natural way to end up in like the middle of something, I guess.
And, you know, I guess that work that you're doing extends beyond just the music you make as well, because you co-founded Fast at Work, which is sort of a club night based in LA. Tell me a little bit about how that started and what sort of made you feel as though there was a need for that as a concept and as a party.
Yeah. So like, you know, right after pandemic, I remember going to one of the like first warehouse parties, I think, back. I guess this probably would have been 2021, maybe early 2021. And we go, and it was really exciting. I remember there was like a group of us who were there, but I was like, oh, like we've been, you know, clubs have been shut. We haven't been able to do this in all these years. And yet like I'm at the most like boring minimal show, because like that's what, and I was like, wait, this doesn't feel right. Like this isn't what, like, this isn't even what people we've been like listening to in lockdown. Right. And like, sort of, it was just, it was time like to, you know, I was like kind of ready to start my own party. Like I'd been involved in music for kind of ever, and it was like, okay. And we just, I think that this was really at a time when there was a lot more like focus on like local communities again, like, oh, like the local DJs and like you could see it in the New York scene and how there was all this like local talent that started to get actually really big kind of like around then. I feel like a lot of that actually had to do off the back of the pandemic and people not being able to like travel around. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was just about like bringing something, and it was like the music that I want to listen to. And in turn, it was also the music that I wanted to DJ, but I was like new to playing out at that point as well. So it was like, it was very like, it was like, okay, everyone's going to come see me DJ for the first time, and I'm going to play like, they probably, I don't know what they're going to expect, but I'm going to play this like, at the time it was probably more full spectrum, like 140 to 160, like kind of, you know, everything that you would play in that realm.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that was kind of what I did, and people seemed to like it, and it was like, oh, this is cool. So like now, yeah, I think there was just like, it felt like there was a need for like something fresh, and fresh to us was like, how about we play like the music that we never get to hear here, and that we're always like flying to Europe if we're lucky to listen to, or you know, yeah, maybe New York as well.
Yeah, it's crazy how that happens, that sometimes the freshest thing you can hear can be something that's really old and not
totally
like and actually sort of like legendary, like that early dubstep is like so legendary, yeah, but not, you're not always going to hear it in a lot of different contexts, so it becomes fresh again.
Totally. It's like crazy how the more, you know, I'm still digging in back catalog stuff. I play so much old music, and I'll be like, what is this old record on tempo? Like it's like never ending. It feels like, because there's all these like deep cuts that like I don't know. It's not like I know the entire back catalog, and I'm like, I'm in there a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty how how fresh all like so much of that music sounds. Like, it's pretty wild. Even like, you know, it's like the anniversary of Midnight Request Line. Mm. You're like, this sounds so fresh and new. Like, this doesn't sound old to me. Mm-hmm. When you like, playing all of that music with new music, like, it actually works so well. So it's been really fun to like do that and have people be like, what's this track? And I'm like, it's from 2007 or whatever, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah. It must feel, let's talk about Temper, because like, legendary record label, founded in like early 2000s, Neil Jolly like literally coined the term dubstep. Like, this is like where dubstep kind of arguably started. And now you're releasing via Temper. Like, that must feel quite surreal.
Yeah, it does. Like, it's like to be supported and like having come to it again from like, as you know, more or less like an outsider from this specific scene, like not being from the UK, obviously not having like been around in the early days, like to be like, just to be a part of it and like has been amazing. And it's still is cool. Like, I like look to my right and I have my like records, like now have the vinyl, and to see it is, it still makes me like happy every day. Mm. So yeah, it's it feels like in a lot of ways, like I feel pressure, right? Like, I feel like this, like I'm upholding, trying to like uphold the legacy, but like just really just making music with the only goal in mind is like to like experiment and hopefully make things that sound like, you know, new but rooted, like I like.
Beautiful. I also feel as though there's something about Hibiscus, particularly this track with Baby Africa, which is like, you know, obviously got that classic UK dubstep sound, which you've talked about being quite influenced by, and being based in London and releasing via Temper now. It's obviously a huge part of your sound, but there's also something that, you know, bringing an LA based rapper like Baby Africa on, there's something that feels as though you're sort of carving your distinct sound and sort of blending those two worlds of music in quite a unique way.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like, I like the influence of it, but like, I want to keep doing something new. And I actually think that's what Tempa has always been known for, right? Like pushing the sounds forward, like even in, you know, all historically have always pushed stuff that sounded like different. Dubstep that wasn't like, yeah, new sounds really. And so I to have their support in doing that in my own style is really, really cool. And yeah, like they have their own vision for like how they wanna like keep pushing the label forward. And so doing things like collaborating with a LA based rapper and like making this sort of like weird West Coast dubstep, and then it like working has been really, yeah, like people like really loving the song has been, you don't know that people are going to connect with something that, especially when I'm like, I don't actually know what this sounds like.
Yeah,
like it sounds like, when it was finished, I was like, I don't really know what to compare it to, because it is such a like sort of hybrid sound. So in that case, it felt like risky, you know what I mean? To like put something like this out, because you're like, I know that this is good, like I'm proud of this, but like it sits in a weird place. Like, is it, it's kind of commercial almost, but it's like definitely dubstep.
Yeah,
she's got this like really like unique voice and like style of rapping and stuff. So yeah, it's really, really, really special to like see people connecting with it from like all different lanes, you know.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, even dubstep for girls, you know, we're all on board.
You've got dubstep girls here in New Zealand that love you.
I'm so happy. Yeah.
Oh, we're such big fans. And the new
come
EP
down.
Yes, please come.
I know, I've never been. I would love to.
Oh yay. Okay, we've got this in the bag.
We're gonna hold you to that.
Yeah, no, I'm so down. Yeah.
Okay, you heard it here first, everyone. Carrie wants to come to Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Yeah.
We've been chatting with Carrie about her new EP Hibiscus, which came out on Friday via Temper and is available now via Bandcamp. It's such a beautiful collection of tracks. We're listening to Hibiscus with Baby Africa right now. Thank you so much for making the time for a chat with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
And congratulations. Hopefully we see you down here sometime soon.
Yes, please.
Cool. Thanks so much, Kare. Bye.
Well, thank you.
Bye. Talking, calm me down when I hurt and you my icicle.